want you to turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk 2:4. We've been here. You know, we started on talking about that you were the ground. You are the ground. And we know that the first one of the things we need to do is get ourselves in a position as the ground to receive. We did many, many weeks on the ground. I think it was one of the best sermon teachings I've done in 20 years of ministry. That if you could ever get the concept and the understanding that all that you have is bound up in that ground idea. And that you can come in as good ground and receive. That it's a decision. You make the decision to be good ground. You come in and decide to be a hearer. You don't come in frustrated. You don't come in fussy. You don't come in with things over you. You come in with the idea, I'm going to hear. Because the devil wants to steal the word from you. And he does things to do that. You know, I say this and you think I'm funny, but you know, anybody that's come to church long enough knows that a lot of the things that'll go wrong will happen on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. Cars will break down Saturday night. Anybody ever have the car? Family fights. They don't happen on Monday. Come on, everybody. When do they happen? Sunday morning, Saturday night, Friday. Right? You've seen that. You get in the big fusses and all. The devil wants to stop you from hearing the word. He wants to take the word out of your life. And so we've got to be good ground. But then we went forward from there and we started in a series or a group of messages called How for us to use the word. How to use the word of God. How do we use the word of God? Because that's the goal, right? To get the word. Then how do we use the word? And we started right here as a review in Habakkuk chapter 2. And it says this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Look at somebody and say, you live by faith. You live by faith. We talked a little bit about grace. There's a lot of confusion about grace. I want my church not to be confused about grace. A lot of teaching on grace that's errant. It's wrong. And I've seen churches become dismayed with this. And by making a place for things in people's lives and discounting their objective of being what God called them to be, holy, being consecrated to God, they have made excuses for them to just live any way they want to and come sit in the church like there's no change. But you didn't get saved and not expect to be changed. He said from glory to glory to glory, he's going to change us. As believers, he wants to change you. He wants to move you into glory. And he wants you to have more of him every day. I've been saved most of my life. I got saved when I was 5 years old. Had a few stints where I was just out in the world or whatever. But I've served the Lord. And I've come to realize the best thing in my life, the best thing I've ever experienced is serving God. Somebody ought to say amen. Serving God is the best thing that's ever happened to my life. In the times that I was out, and I wasn't in the church. It wasn't a good place. I wasn't blessed. I found out the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And it is. You lose things. Things go wrong. But serving God changes all that. You can live with blessing. I have found that to be true. I'm just telling you. And thank God for it. So he says the way of the believer is by faith. We do it by faith. And so we read on and found out in Romans 1:17, it continues on. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God wants us to live by faith. Everything you need from God, starting with salvation, comes through faith. Look at somebody and say, through faith. Through faith. We know, for by grace are you saved. For by grace, the provision of God, God's provision. You didn't do a thing for it. You haven't performed in a value that would allow you to have it. You have experienced nothing that would give it to you. You didn't twist God's arm enough for him to provide salvation for you or any other thing. He did it just simply because he is God and said, I'm going to do it. That's grace, provision. He has provided for us all the things we need. He has provided blessing. He has provided healing. He has provided provision. He's provided safety. He's provided wisdom. I mean, think, just go on and on and on. God's provision is there, but none of it is yours unless you receive it through faith. None of it is yours unless you receive it through faith. For by grace, provision of God, are you saved through faith. We get it by faith. Everything you want from God comes because you learned to believe, and that belief turned into an action. You responded to God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we have not seen, and we receive it by faith. And so we've stepped into our life with faith. We got saved by faith. And he said that we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saved. We confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saved. So my action in correspondence to his word, how shall they be saved unless they hear a preacher? Somebody said the word. A word came to them on this planet. A man preached the word to them in some way or another. They heard the word of God. They responded to the word of God. They believed in their heart, and they confessed with their mouth, and they were saved. Grace was there, but faith received it. They weren't saved because they were born. When you were born, the Bible says you were born because of Adam with a sin nature. Every human being alive today, because of what Adam did in the garden all those years ago, is born with a sin nature. You're born and you have a sin nature. At some point in your life, you're responsible for your life, and that sin nature must be dealt with. If it is not dealt with, the Bible says that you won't see the Lord. You have to be saved to see the Lord. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So we know that we have to come through Jesus because of what Adam did. You are not saved because you were born. You're not saved because you figure it out. It's not a mental state of achievement. You don't mentally become saved. In other words, you were saved, you just didn't know it, and then all of a sudden you discovered you were saved. You're saved because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way to get saved. And unless you contribute to that concept, unless you get in that concept, unless you achieve through faith that belief, you're not saved. If you've not confessed him as Lord over your life, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. You have to confess his lordship. It's not that you said, I'm a sinner. You don't come up and pray and say, Lord, I've sinned, forgive my sin. It's that you confessed him as Lord. The Bible says that we'll say unto the mountain, be thou removed, plucked up, cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in our heart. Believe the thing we say shall come to pass. We'll have what we say. Unless we confess him as Lord, unless he becomes Lord of our life, that's the only way we can be saved. He has to become Lord of our life. When people come and they accept Christ, we have to make sure that they have accepted him as Lord and Savior. They understand the principle. And the only way that you can receive that, the Bible says, is to be drawn by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord does the drawing. Man teaches the word. You hear it. You respond by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He leads you. This is important. Get this now. Get this. I'm teaching a little bit today because we can preach a few weeks from now, but today you've got to get a concept. You've got to get a basic concept. So the Spirit draws you. Now I'm going to say this to you, that by the leading of the Spirit, by the word of the Spirit, you activate your faith. You'll activate faith because you heard a word and that word became a revelation to you. The word became revelation to you. It could just be word. You could just be sitting there and somebody could say words, but those words meant nothing. How many of you have heard preaching before and you just sat there in the pews and you never accepted Christ at that time? Is anybody that heard the word and didn't accept Christ? Yeah, okay, all over the room. Everybody should raise their hand because it's the truth and everybody knows it. But one day, somebody was preaching, something was different. You heard the word of the Lord, and it was no longer just somebody's word. God illuminated that word, and that word became something other than just a man speaking. The Holy Spirit inspired the word. It became light in a dark place, and you activated based on that Spirit leading. The Lord led them. The Lord leads us. And so he spoke to you. Now, you may not have been listening, whatever the issues may have been. You may have been aground that wasn't able to receive this. You guys see where I'm going back to now. You see where I'm going. Just because the word is spoken doesn't mean you got the word. But the Spirit of God is there. The Bible tells us that Jesus was there and the power of God was there to heal. But he could do no mighty works there, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and he healed them because of their unbelief. The Bible says because they wouldn't believe. Now, the word was there. The power of God was there. Jesus was there. All that we needed was there. But because of their unbelief, because of the ground they were, they couldn't receive it. They may not have even come. They may have heard Jesus was coming to the town and thought, that's just old so-and-so's son. He's just the carpenter. I don't think I'll go to that. Either way, however it came about, we know that we have a part in the relationship with God. And this is important because we said that everything we want from God comes by faith. If you want healing in your body, it comes through the mechanism, through the mechanics of faith. If you have financial difficulty, you have challenges with your finances, you need prosperity and blessing, it comes through faith. There's something that you will hear, something that will come, and the Spirit of God will speak to you, and that's that word that would just be normal, just anybody talking, becomes revelation. Have you ever read your Bible before? And as you were reading your Bible, you've read the same scripture 1,000 times, and it meant nothing to you? How many read your Bible? Raise your hand if you read your Bible. How many of you are lying? I'm just playing with you. No, we read the Bible. I've read scripture after scripture, and there are times I've read scriptures, and they mean absolutely nothing. And then one day I was reading, and all of a sudden it was like the light came on of God, and what was totally distant to me became life to me. I was like, wow. Illumination came. The ground was different. Faith enters my heart, and I now see what I could not otherwise see. I was illuminated. But it comes by faith. So let's look at it again. Let's go over here to Galatians 3:11. Turn over to Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. Again, it says that no man is justified in the law, in the sight of God. It is evident. The just shall live by faith. Then we continue on. We could find there's 4 or 5 scriptures in the New Testament that repeat this from Habakkuk, telling us we live by faith. Look at somebody and say, you live by faith. The next section we talked about was whatever is not of faith is dead, is death, is sin. The Bible calls it sin. The word there is the word sin. But if we looked it up and we studied that out, that it actually says this, and you'll find this in Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eats not in faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. The word actually there is death. It brings death. Faith brings life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly, that he would destroy the works of the devil. So faith brings life to us. It's life-giving to us. It is the life of our Christian experience. And so whatever is not of faith brings death. It's death. We're operating in a death realm. We operate with death things. We operate with only the understanding we have on the earth with what we know, what we can see, touch, taste, feel, see, hear, and smell. We operate only by 5 senses, but we have a spiritual man. And that spiritual man has eyes, ears. It has the ability to experience God. So in faith, I operate in a different realm. I'm operating in a different place. I operate in a different world. I operate with a different objective, a different understanding. When I operate in my senses, all I have to go by is my mind, my will, my emotions. All I have is my senses. And so I have to listen to what doctors say. I have to go to the bank and God, my heart gets pricked to build a business and all I have is nothing. And God said, I want you to go open a store. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to do that. If all I have is 5 senses, I can't open the store. If all I have is my 5 senses, but God is saying to us, we don't live by our senses. We live by faith. Does anybody get where I'm going from? And there's a contrast to this. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11:6 says it this way, that we are to press into the Lord, and that the only way we can please him is by faith. You can't please God with anything else but faith. You can't please him. So the pleasing God is by faith. And so we know that it takes, number one, that we have to have faith. Number two, we have to live by that faith. So now I want to get into today's thought. And I want to talk to you about, again, I want to just briefly talk on faith, but I want to talk about how is the word going to work in my life? How is it really going to work in my life? Okay, Pastor, I get it. I got to get it by faith. If I want to go to the next level financially, I got to get it by faith. If I want to step into a new business, I got to get it by faith. if I'm going to do it God's way. If I'm going to do it God's way, I got to do it God's word, God's way. And so it's important for us to understand that faith is not just a biblical principle. Somebody say it's not just a biblical principle or a psychological idea. It's not even a religious story. It's not a theology. Instead, faith is a supernatural means of conferring power from God to us. Faith is a supernatural means of the conference and empowerment of God. It is a supernatural force. It is not a thought. It's not an idea. It is a supernatural force. And here's what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that I can't see. So let me just read some definitions. I wrote a bunch of stuff down. I'm basically going to read it. And here's what I want to say to you. It is a spiritual platform and connection for our empowerment, number one. Number two, all that Christ offers to us, all that he has offered to us is delivered to us by faith. Through faith, we access all God has to give. Everything God has is accessed by faith. Nothing comes down from heaven but by faith. Every provision is released on the basis of faith. Now, this is important because you have to understand. We're talking about how you're going to go to the next level, how you're going to go up to the next mountain, how you are going to live in the blessings of God, how you are going to have healing and blessing, how you're going to step up. How many of you really want to step up in life? Raise your hand. You know, I do. Every day I dream not only of me, but, you know, now that I've had these kids and they're growing up, you know, I'm over-fathering. I'm an over-father. That's what Pastor Reggie said to me. He put me in the car and he said, Steve, you're an over-father. Too much fathering. I just put too much in it. I'm totally, because I want them to do so much better than me. How many know what I'm talking about? I want them to have so much more than I had. I want them to go so much further than I ever went. And if you're not a parent like that, get like that. You need it. So faith is the most important and most powerful work or most powerful force in the universe. Faith itself is the most powerful force in the universe. How do I know that? Mark 9:23 says this. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. What other force is more powerful than that? What other force gives us more potency than that, than faith? Listen to this, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is impossible. You can preach to me and tell me whatever you want to talk to. You can limit God all you want to limit God. You can try and tell me all your human thoughts on God, but I have the word. And I don't know about nobody else. I'm going to live by the word. He said, nothing is impossible to him that believes. Come on. Nothing's impossible. And so whatever there is an outcome that God wants for your life, God has a way to get you to the outcome. He has a way to get you to the outcome. You know, this is not about buying Lamborghinis. This is not about becoming movie stars. Some of y'all are just, you need to go on a diet before you try to be a movie star. You understand? This is not about you becoming the next Beyonce. Some of y'all just can't sing. You understand? I'm not suggesting that can't happen. I'm not suggesting that that's not a possibility. When you go back in church history, you can see some phenomenal miracles. I have a friend in my life right now that does not speak Spanish, did not know Spanish. And he's a minister. And he went to speak at a Spanish church overseas, and the interpreter didn't show up. And so he was believing God, and all these people are sitting there, they're waiting on him to preach. He's got nobody to interpret. And he looked over at his assistants and those were with him. They said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go up and preach. And they asked him, how are you going to go preach? He said, the Spirit of the Lord has inspired me, and I think I'm going to be able to preach in Spanish. He walked up on the platform and never missed a word in Spanish, preached the whole message, and now has fluent Spanish as a language. Fluent. Fluent. When he comes and speaks for us, he always gets up and prays in tongues. in Spanish, or he'll pray in Spanish. And we all just kind of sit there amazed because God gave him that. You know, back in the early days, there was a Azusa Street. And the pastor there at Azusa Street, they didn't have any musicians. And all they had was a piano. So the pastor's wife walked up under the Holy Ghost, had never played a piano in her life, sat down at the piano and began to play like a concerto pianist. Immediately sat down and God touched her hands. People would come from all over the world to hear her play the piano and try to figure out how she had done it because God touched her hands. And God can and will do that. Those are miracles. And those things can happen. But on an everyday basis, those of us living the faith life, it's about us living a life of faith. Yes, I'll take a miracle, but I'd rather live in faith. How about you? I mean, live in faith. We ought to live a faith life. If I need a miracle, I'll take it. But otherwise, I'm walking this thing out. And I can have. So God has an end result for you that's beautiful. He has an end result that's great. Maybe you'll never be quarterback of the New England Patriots. And that was just for my youth pastor over there. He named his son after the quarterback there. Brady. And wide receiver. Jesus. This is Ashley's mom and dad, by the way. And he pastors and works as a pastor in one of the churches in Orlando. So when this is over, she's been here forever. She got caught in the storm and she's been stuck. And we've just enjoyed it. Amen. But, you know, you may never be that. But that does not mean that God cannot take you and your resources and do the same things with your life and you have the same results that somebody that may have gone into the NFL that becomes the leading quarterback of the New England Patriots has. God has a place for you. So it's not about you being a quarterback. It's about the other things. Do you understand? I mean, Chicago Bears. I used to watch them when they were back in the 80s and they had McMahon as the quarterback. Today, that man doesn't remember his name. He doesn't even remember winning a Super Bowl. He can't remember that he even went. Well, that's not blessed. I'd rather know at least I went. Somebody say amen. I mean, even if I lost, I'd want to remember it. Somebody say amen. And so I'm just saying to you, I want to live the blessed life. And so this is what I'm trying to say to you, that God has a blessed life for you, that he has bills paid for you, homes to live in, cars to drive, excel, that you can access the best of life. I came that you might have life and have it in abundance, an abundant life, an abundant life. Look at somebody and say, God wants me to live abundantly blessed. I know I'm teaching this morning, but y'all need what I got to say. So every once in a while when I ask you to shout, just do it loudly. Yeah. Make somebody next to you feel obnoxiously mad at you for how loud you yell. Because you're not getting much yelling from me. Amen. I want them shaking when you yell it out. Amen. He goes on and says this in Mark 10, 26 and 27. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men, that's impossible. See, I mean, there's no other way. With men, that's impossible. You can't do it. There's no other way. He says, but with God, all things through Jesus, through the word of the Lord, by faith, I can receive what belongs to me that's there set aside for me. It's banked for me. It's available to me. And by faith, I can access that thing that God has provided. Somebody ought to say amen. With faith, there are no impossibilities. Look at somebody and say, nothing's impossible. Faith exchanges man's impossibility with God's possibility. Faith transfers eternal truth to natural manifestation. Faith is the transference of the divine to the natural. When we operate by faith, we are operating at the frequency of God. When we move to the arena of expectation from earth to heaven, we get heaven's benefit. Faith bestows divinity on humanity, God's divine nature on us. Meaning he imparts to us. Many people perish because of a lack of this knowledge. The Bible says people don't know and that's why they don't receive. See, if you sit here and people don't teach you this, you just go to church and get out hollering every day and say, what was that all about? Well, he said something good about having friends. Or you watch a little video sermon and all we do is go in there and watch a little video of Forrest Gump and then go home. No, you need to know what faith is. You need to understand what the principles are. Somebody's got to teach you, because God, listen, if I can get this in you, if I can get this in you, there's no impossibility to him that believes. How far do you want to go? There's no impossibility. Where do you want to go? What do you want in life? There's nothing withheld from you. There's no relationship withheld from you. There's no child situation that's withheld from you. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. I'm going to keep saying it until you understand it. I mean, sometimes, listen, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we just need to come to the conclusion that's not what we really want. Sometimes we have to come to the conclusion that's not what we really want. Because if you really wanted it, as you walked in faith, you would do everything God told you to do to get it. And if God said there's no impossibility, you know, sometimes we ought to just look at people and say, I don't really want that. I have people come to me all the time, they'll say they want a job. I'll say, did you fill out any applications? No, hadn't done that. Have you had any interviews? No, they've all been bad. Everyone I went to was bad. Well, was that them or was that you? Well, you know. Why don't you just say, right now? Man, I'm preaching so good right now. I'm careful with my kids. They come to me and tell me something they want, and I will never tell them they can't have it. I'll never say that. I'll say, you can't today. Can't have that today. But I will never tell you you can't have it, because all things are possible. Now, we might need to get an understanding. Maybe God needs to work on our understanding of what it is. This is where I'm going today. This is we're about to get to where I want to get. It'll just take me a few minutes. Just listen to what I've got to say. They know that it's available to them. People know it. But they don't have the knowledge because they've never really heard the truth about that thing. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? What do you really want? What have you really believed for? Really, I mean, just, I'm asking you, what have you really believed for? Where have you really stood? What faith has actually worked in your life? Because faith is corresponding action to the word. It is what you do in correspondence with the word. You have to do something according to the word. You have to say and believe. Just because look, I use this example, I'm going to use it again. I have read so much material on getting on a treadmill. I believe everything I've read. You know, they say if you get it to a certain height and you get up to a certain speed and you get on it for a certain amount of time, you're going to burn so many calories. It's going to thin you down. You're going to tone up. And I believe it. But I ain't ever done it. I have the belief, but I've done nothing with what I believe. Faith is not about what we believe. It's about our corresponding actions to what we believe. If I went through the stories of how we found buildings and things that we did and how we ended up where we are, it was that we heard from the Lord. There was an inspiration of the Spirit that generated something in us in a way that caused us to do something we would not have otherwise done. And because we did what we knew to do, the corresponding action of God caused that thing to come to pass. Buildings showed up. Things turned up. Money came. There have been times we stood here. I stood here one day and I didn't know how in the world I was going to pay the bills on Monday. I had no idea the rent was due. There were some employees at the time. We paid a security bill, insurances, and we were standing there on a Sunday not knowing how in the world we would pay everything on Monday. And my faith was to always pay all we could pay on time, never miss a payment, you know, and I mean do all that we could there. And I was just believing God. I went into a room and I started praying, seeking God. God. I said, God, this is your church. It's not my church. I can't make money, Lord. And I know you won't make money because you don't cheat, lie, or steal. I said, but you know where the money is. God, you know how to find the resource. I know you know how to dig it up from under a rock. If you got to dig it up, if you got to find it in a fish, there's a fish waiting on me. I mean, for hours, I stood in the room and said, God, you're God, and the devil's a liar, and this thing's going to turn around. And I'll tell you, I come out the room, walked out in victory. I knew that I had an answer, and all of a sudden the phone would ring and somebody'd be on the other end of the phone. Pastor Steve, we sold the property last week. We got paid and the money's in the bank. We need to pay our tithes. Will you come get the money? And I'd drive to Columbia and go pick up $2,500 or $2,000. I just trusted by faith. How many knows? Sometimes you got to walk by faith. You just got to walk it. I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by sight. Your vision comes from your ability to correspond with God's word. You got to walk it out, talk it out, act it out. You got to keep working until that thing. Hold on now. I'm not going to preach. I didn't come to preach. Woo! Man, I wake up in the morning thinking, if God be for me, woo! Then what does it matter who comes against me? If God's on my side, if God's standing with me. All right, I'm going to keep teaching. I got to teach. No. Need to get this. There are no impossibilities with God. None. People perish because they don't know. They don't know that God wants it for them. They don't know that there's a future. You were beautifully and wonderfully made. I have plans for you. They are for great success. You'll come to great success. That's what he said. Listen to this is my annotation of the idea of faith. We know this in Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. True faith, or the truth about faith, is that faith is a supernatural force spawned from the impartation of revelation of the word of God into the heart of man that releases a corresponding action, thereby extracting from Jesus the power of God to perform the impossible. I want to say that again. I thought that was good. I wrote that myself. The truth about faith is that faith is a supernatural force spawned from the impartation of a revelation of the word of God into the heart of a man that releases corresponding actions, thereby extracting the power of God from Jesus, or from Jesus the power of God to perform the impossible. The word faith is the word pistis. It means these things. Listen to this. Now the revelation of God is the word or substance of things. Now the impartation of the will of God is by the Holy Spirit. The persuasion of God is operating in you when you have faith. God's persuasion operating in us by revelation. My belief truly is connected to the idea that God reveals to us his word and imparts to us by the Holy Spirit. It's not just my belief that God, through the Holy Spirit, revealed the word, but it's my persuasion of that and my absolute act upon it. I could just go on and on. But here's our problem. I want you to get this. We said that it's... But we live by faith. But the just shall live by faith. We said that we have to understand it's by faith or it's sin, that we'll die without it. Faith is the life. But how do I get the word? How does this operate? I have come to realize, now this was a title for this little section, faith comes by hearing the voice of God. Faith comes by hearing the voice of God. Now, Romans 10:17 says it this way. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's no other mechanism listed in the Bible of how you will receive faith. I can receive trust through my actions, through activity. I can receive honor, various other things, all kinds of emotions, all kinds of experiences. But faith, the supernatural force that we're listening, we're talking about, comes by hearing the word, and hearing the word, and it has to be the word of God. Now listen to this. This is what the actual rendering of this, Romans 10:17 says. So faith comes by hearing. That word hearing there is the word information. Faith comes by information. So information is given to us. That's why I said I believe everything about a treadmill. It's information. It's not revelation. It's just information. When I stand up here and say, he wants you blessed, everybody in here shouts, yes! Say it! That does not mean that it has become revelation. I used her house before. I want to use it again. I stood by her time and time again and told her, you need to get the faith for it. Let's pray that you believe. Let's pray that you know what you're looking for. What kind of house do you want? And when she come, I just want a house. Well, you know, I got a cardboard box. I can cut some windows in for you. But at some point, something happened, whatever it was, that transformed the way she looked at it, the way she did it. It doesn't matter how it all happened. You have to understand, this is about faith. It's not about people and who you used and didn't you. I don't know any of those things. But what I'm saying is, something changed in her. She no longer had information. Faith comes by information. Having hearing. Hearing. First thing is hearing. Hearing. You've sat in church for years. Many of you sat in church for years. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I remember when I wanted to get married to Amy, I had dated, oh Lord, who knows how many girls. I mean, really, I'm just being serious. And I dated this girl, and it was the last girl I dated before Amy, and we were engaged or something like that. I guess you'd call it engaged. And I knew she wasn't right. I knew she wasn't right. I was just looking for somebody. Look at all y'all acting like y'all ain't never done all that. I just look at anybody, just somebody. I don't want to be by myself. Y'all all getting all spiritual. Oh, never me, sir. Never me. I've always dated somebody that would be a marriage mate. Liar. It's not true. I was just looking. I didn't know you could be led by the Spirit. I didn't know you could hear from God. I didn't know you that there was a divine voice. I didn't know all this. I didn't know. But I dated this girl, and it got to the end of the relationship with her, and, you know, I mean, things went a certain way, and blah, 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 and so we had to break up, and so I decided to break up with this girl, and I did. I broke up with her. I told her, this is it. I'm done. We're through, blah, 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 and she stalked me. Y'all ever been stalked by anybody? Lord Jesus. I had to hide my car, park around the neighborhood. Y'all ever had to do that? I had to walk to my house and hide in my house. And if she knocked on the door, I wouldn't even answer the door. She's talking to me, Steve, Steve. But something dropped in my heart in these moments, and something happened. I realized that wasn't the one, but I also realized there was a one. Something came on the inside of me that was different. It was a totally different experience. You see, here's what it says here. It says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The second word hearing in this scripture is not the same as the initial word. It's a different word. It's the word revelation. It's the word impartation. The difference is between the head and the heart. The first hearing is the hearing of the head. The second hearing is the hearing of the heart. And then he goes on to say this, but it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing, and the word there that by the word of God is the word rhema. Now, there are two words used to describe the word of God. One is logos, the other is rhema. Logos is the written word. It's the page, the document. Rhema is the spoken word. Now, the spoken word can be from the written word because God can illuminate and will always illuminate from the word of God. It will always line up with the word of God. It will never be variant from the word of God. It will always be in total agreement with the word of God, but it will be by God's voice to us that God will speak to us. In that moment with that girl, God spoke to me and said, yeah, this wasn't the one, but there is one. And there was a difference between I had sought one and God said, there is one. There is one. That first one was a mess. Have y'all ever had a mess in a relationship? Come on, let's be honest about it. Have you ever run from people and hated them? Let's be honest about it. They did you wrong and you just were so mad. Look at the saints. Everybody's so holy in this place. See, I know the truth because I've already been there, already done it. Thank God for those of you who never went through that, because it's a miserable place. Amen? You can step into things and think it's the right thing, and because all of the manifestation of somebody looks like it's what you were looking for. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, they taught me you got to look for a girl that sings. You got to look for a girl that plays the piano. Oh, yeah, you had to find the singer and the player, and you had to be able to preach and all that stuff. If you was going to be Pentecostal, you're going to pastor a church. You got to have a Holy Ghost woman. She got to preach and sing. She got to be able to do women's ministry. I married somebody who can't sing, who can't play, and don't want nothing to do with women's ministry. She don't want to do no meetings. She don't want to talk to y'all. She don't. If she comes out here, it's because we had a fight before she came. You got to go talk to them folks. I'd rather talk to the kids. She loves those kids, man. She adores those kids. She is fully persuaded on those kids. Her heart is committed to those kids. Those kids love my wife. And I can tell you right now, if I had to put a number on how this church was built, I'd give her 90%. God said there's somebody that I want to give you. There's somebody that's going to fit this mold, and there's a difference between head and heart. There's a difference between using your head for your vision and using your heart for your vision. And you get it in your heart, you don't get it in your head. I'm preaching real good. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Somebody's getting what I'm talking about. You came up with all kinds of ideas. If I rent this building, if I do this, if I'll meet that person, if I can shake their hand, if I can ask this question, if I can. And God just said, I got something better for you if you just pick up this piece of paper right here. You don't know. But you're supposed to know. You got to hear the voice of God. You have to have the direction of God. You have to hear the voice of the Lord. There is a difference between information in your head and information in your heart. The fact is this, faith works when I know the will of God. If I don't know the will of God, faith doesn't really work. If I'm not led by the Spirit, it's not working. Whew. I got to be led. I got to have God tell me. I got to have communion with the Lord. I have to have relationship with Him. This is why it's so important to have relationship. You can't have all this stuff in between you and God and the distance between you and the Lord, because God's got a place for you to go, and your relationship is your position of hearing. It's how you hear God. And so I left this girl. We finally got apart. I finally got her away from me, thank God. And as I was driving down the road one day, God speaking to me, I've got somebody for you. I've got somebody for you. I've got somebody for you. I knew I didn't want to be alone. Amen. I wasn't created to be one of them celibate dudes. I wasn't created that way. Nobody shouting, but that wasn't me. I had to find me a wife. Nobody shouting. Y'all can be holy if you want to, but y'all know it's the truth. Some folk can live like that. This one can't. Can't do it. I got one. I'm driving down the road, and the Lord says, look over there. I look to the corner of my eye, and out the corner of my eye, I look over there, and there's a jewelry store having a jewelry sale. They're going out of business, 75% off. Pulled in the jewelry store. God's speaking to me. I got somebody for you. I got somebody for you. I ran in the jewelry store. I go into the jewelry store. I start picking through the jewelry. I find this beautiful ring, gorgeous ring, nice ring, like a carrot. I mean, and realize this thing was crazy money, but it's 75% off. They're really going out of business. This is the real deal. And so I'm just believing God. And so I'm thinking, that's a gorgeous ring, but I don't know anything about rings. I said, boy, I wish I had a girl to look at this ring. I looked out the window, and one of the youth group members in my youth group, no, I wasn't the youth pastor, but I was a youth worker in this youth group. I was a staff member at the church. I look out the window, and this girl comes by, and it's this little girl from our youth group. She's probably, I don't know, 15, 16 years old at the time. Now, I did not date somebody too young. Just go cut that off. I did not jailbait. I did not find a little girl. I did not do any of that stuff. God said, I got somebody for you. And there's little Amy. I was 15, 16 years old, walking by the window. I told the lady in the store, I said, listen, there's a little girl from my church walking there. I think she'll know about rings. I'd like her to come look at this ring. I chased her down to the end of the shopping center, grabbed her and said, I'm looking at a ring. The Lord told me to put a ring on and said, would you come down and look at it and tell me if it's a pretty ring? She comes down there. She might be thinking something a little different, but I wasn't thinking this way. She slipped that joker on. She said, oh my, that's a beautiful ring. I would love to have a ring like that. I bought the ring. I had to start on layaway. I paid money on it until I could finally get it out. It was the store finally closed. I finally got the ring. I took the ring and put it in my mama's house for 7 years. And 7 years later, the Lord had me at a dock with that girl down in Tampa Bay looking at the water, standing under the moon. I just felt like kissing her, man. I just, can I? 23 years later, we're married. We have 3 children, and God saw that. When I find place with God, when I find relationship with God, and I listen to the voice of the Lord, faith will work. And nothing is impossible to him that believes. You don't have to go outside of the word to get your victory. You don't have to go outside of his plan for your success. Maybe you've done what I've done. Maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you're in a relationship situation. Maybe you're trying to figure out your situation. Stop. Go back to heaven. Go back to a place with God and say, God, I know faith is the place. I know that in faith, there's the perfect person for me. You've picked out a Rebecca. You've picked out something special for me. You've picked out somebody who will fit me and that I can fit them. You'll work it out. And maybe you're in a relationship now and you don't know how you're going to solve it. It feels like it's falling apart. The Bible said he wants you to have a one flesh marriage. Lord, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to bring my wife to my side. I don't know how to solve the issues. I don't know. But God knows. He knows how to solve your marriage. He knows how to heal your relationship. You say, but you don't know how bad I've been. I don't have to. I just know how good he is. I don't have to worry about where you've been or what you've done or what mess you've made. God is bigger than your mess. He's larger than your situation. And he can solve your trouble. He can heal your land. He can deliver you from the enemy. He can. I'm just telling you, faith works. It's never a failure. It never falls apart. It never dissolves. God is true. Let every man be a liar. So when we get the information, we get what we need from God. There is no manifestation without a heart preparation. There must be a heart preparation. Every encounter with God is born out of a proper heart presentation. The earnest, heartfelt prayers of righteous men and women make tremendous power available. It's not rooted in the head, it's rooted in the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, The Lord seeth not as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Amen. How many got anything out of this today? Amen.